On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, it's likely Ireland will administer 40,000 fewer vaccines this week than had been expected because of the disruption caused by AstraZeneca. We'll hear from the chief executive of the HSC. We'll also have a full report on the rollout of the HSC's online vaccination portal. Almost 100 people arrived into Ireland in the past week from high-risk countries without a mandatory hotel quarantine booking. So far, ministers say they've all been accommodated in hotels. An update on the easing of COVID restrictions north of the border is due shortly. And in the Republic, retailers are calling for the reopening of retail shopping. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news. Kenny Harkin is here at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation from the HSE's chief executive this evening that it's likely Ireland would administer 40,000 fewer vaccines this week than had been expected. That's largely because of the disruption caused by the suspension of AstraZeneca for most age groups as a result of blood clot fears. The HSE boss, Paul Reid, says there will be a short-term impact, but he says the overall rollout aim for 80% of adults to have a first dose by the end of June is still very much on track.
Just in terms of last week, we were in the range of 180, as you said, 180,000, 190. We expect it'd probably be closer to 140,000. But ultimately, as I said at the start, we're gearing this towards completion of the programme in the quarter. And if those uncertainties confirmed for us, like the Pfizer, etc., we're well on track to do that. So, you know, April has been impacted by what we see, but we see it washing out over a couple of weeks.
Meanwhile, the HSE's online vaccination portal opened for bookings today. There were 9,000 applications within the first hour. That figure had doubled by lunchtime. With more, here's Casey O'Riordan.
To register for a vaccine online, you need a mobile number, email address, air code and your PPS number. The HSE is asking people aged 65 to 69 to register on specific days based on their age to manage demand, starting with 69-year-olds today. 68-year-olds will be able to register tomorrow, 67-year-olds on Saturday and so on. Peter Buckley registered this morning.
You give all your personal details, email address, postcode, mobile number, date of birth, mother's name.
He says the process was relatively simple.
The whole thing is done and dusted. I will be informed 3 days before my appointment. Can't wait.
Celine Clark from Age Action Ireland says it's important to note that you can also register by phone.
1850 24 1850 will support people who may not have the digital literacy skills or who may have disabilities and can't use the online portal.
The HSE says it'll be assigning appointments by age and everyone in this cohort will be getting the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Almost 100 people arrived into Ireland in the past week from high-risk countries without a mandatory hotel quarantine booking. Ministers are insisting these walk-in passengers will be accommodated over the coming days, despite the freeze in hotel bookings. With more, here's Sean Defoe.
Ministers vented frustration at yesterday's cabinet meeting with sources present saying mandatory hotel quarantine has to be fixed and fast. Today, the Transport Minister Eamon Ryan keen to stress the visitor numbers to Ireland are very low.
Today, as I understand, coming in 5 flights from the States today, I think there was 12 passengers on board in total. So the numbers are very, very low by any historic comparison.
But there's been enough arrivals from high-risk countries in the last few days before 16 new countries, including the US, were added to the list to overwhelm current supply. The government has a buffer of rooms available over the next few days for passengers who arrive here but were unable to book hotel quarantine because of a pause in the booking system. Multiple ministers, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, were unable today to say what Plan B is if every room fills up.
I haven't heard any discussion of people being deported or being put in prison in those circumstances, so we'll have to find space for them. Yeah, as best we can.
More capacity is coming for the hotel quarantine system from Monday and again the following week, but ministers are vocally frustrated with the handling of the system by the Department of Health. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
In the past few minutes, it's been confirmed that north of the border, hairdressers, beauty salons, visitor attractions and outdoor sport will resume from tomorrow week. The Stormont executive has agreed a further easing of lockdown restrictions will take place on April 30th, with all non-essential retail and gyms reopening. Indoor hospitality is set to restart start from the 24th of May. North of the border, 159 more people tested positive for coronavirus over the past 24 hours, with two additional COVID-related deaths confirmed this afternoon. In the Republic, retailers are calling for a faster reopening of non-essential shopping. It comes as the retail sector is also set to reopen in Northern Ireland at the end of the month. Click and collect services here are set to reopen in early May, with the full sector following later in the month. The Deputy Chair of Retail Excellence Ireland, Jean McCabe, says the return of click and collect would be a start.
For a lot of small businesses that aren't online, click and collect is actually a lifeline for them, because it enables them to reach their customer. Their orders can be placed over the phone or through social media. So I think it's really important that those businesses get the opportunity to, you know, sell some of that aging stock, because for a lot of our fashion retailers, you know, they're sitting on a huge volume of stock, not knowing when we're going to open and wondering will the season have passed and they'll have missed the window.
New changing and showering facilities are on the way to Downing's and Bundoran beaches. It's part of a multi-million euro project from Faultia Ireland, with each centre providing hot showers, changing and toilet facilities, secure storage, induction spaces, equipment washdown and orientation points. They'll be spread across 22 beaches across the country. Tourism Minister Catherine Martin says it's an important initiative.
During COVID, we've seen a significant upward growth in people enjoying these outdoor water-based activities. So this is to ensure that that experience meets and exceeds visitor expectation. And of course, it's a much-needed support for activity tourism businesses.
And that's been echoed by local TD Joe McHugh. He says the provision of facilities in Downing's and Bundoran will be a game changer for the sector locally.
It's vital, especially with the demand increasing every summer, and no doubt with new opportunities and different people and many more people coming to Donegal in the near future. We need that infrastructure, and I think this is the right decision at this time. We look at the improvements and the development since the introduction of the Wild Atlantic Way. What has come out of that is two things. Number one, it's a realisation of what we have on our doorstep, and number two, it's bringing new people and creating awareness in our county, and that means more people are going to come and people will travel.
Donegal County Council is being urged to prioritise South Donegal when its new Greenway unit is fully up and running. The call is coming from the Donegal Municipal District, which says there are a number of proposals being discussed for the area, none of which have been progressed. Laskahirlach Barry Sweeney says one in particular between Ballyshannon and Beleek has the potential to secure cross-border funding, and that, he says, needs to be pursued.
In the past couple of months, we've been working on developing this working group cross-border between Donegal County Council and Fermanagh and Omagh District Council. We intend to raise a number of issues and collaborate bilaterally on a couple of different issues and opportunities, you know, on economic development and tourism and environmental issues and that. But really the one thing that this, I think, can kickstart this going is the Ballyshannon to Beleek Greenway. It's a no-brainer. And this is a cross-border, cross-party, cross-community opportunity, which initially, you know, this sort of phase one we're looking at is Ballyshannon to Beleek. But also, you know, it can extend beyond that in both directions. It's going to open up Fermanagh to the Wild Atlantic Way. It's also going to reopen a traditional, very busy route up along the Erne corridor.
Two key European Parliament committees have backed the EU-UK trade deal. The Foreign Affairs and Trade Committees both voted in favour of the agreement. It will now go to a full plenary of the European Parliament for approval. A date for that vote has not yet been set. Councillors in West Donegal are calling on the fire service to help establish a rapid response initiative to deal with gorse fires in the future, with suggestions that local people receive training and basic equipment be provided in strategic locations. This week's meeting of Glenties Municipal District discussed the second anniversary of a series of gorse fires which caused extensive damage in West Donegal over Easter 2019 and would have done much worse if it were not for the response of local people. The Cathaoirleach of the Glenties MD, Noreen McGarvey, says it's vital they get support. She revealed she also raised the issue at an emergency service strategic policy committee meeting last week.
The locals wanted to get a more structured group together, guided by the fire service. So we were just asking the fire service if they could look favourably at assisting us, setting up like a rapid response team for gorse fires, and give us a little bit of training and maybe help us out with a bit of equipment as well for future fires. We did have our emergency response meeting there on Friday. I submitted in writing to them. I'm just awaiting a response for that, so hopefully I'll have that one in the next couple of days.
The Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District is confident that there's a major funding announcement on the horizon for Carndonagh. The multi-million euro Carndonagh to Snua regeneration project has been submitted to the Department of Rural Affairs. The project has a potential value of around 9.5 million euro, with funding support of around 8.3 being support from the Rural Regeneration Development Fund. Well, the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Albert Doherty, believes that this project will get over the line.
I'm hoping that in the next short few weeks that Carndonagh will be one of the successful applications submitted by the Council for the Tuath Nua Regeneration Project, that would see a substantial sum valued at approximately 9.5 million. With RRDF support of approximately 8.2 million and the council assisting with the remainder, this would be something that would change Carndonagh and would be a whole new deal for the town.
The former police officer accused of murdering George Floyd has decided not to give evidence at his trial in Minneapolis. It means the defence case has ended after just 2 days of testimony. They've been trying to suggest Mr. Floyd died from underlying health conditions and drug use. The prosecution claims he was starved of oxygen when Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck. The judge asked him about his choice not to testify.
Is this your decision not to testify?
It is, Your Honour.
All right. Do you have any questions about your right to remain silent or to testify on your own behalf?
Not at this time, I don't.
Almost 30 new social housing units in Letterkenny will be ready in the coming weeks. Ard Bon has 29 homes, comprising of 1, 2 and 3 bedroom dwellings. It's been completed in the Long Lane area of the town. An allocation list is currently being prepared, with applicants expected to be notified shortly. Councillor Jerry McMonagle says the accommodation is of a high standard. He says this is a positive step towards tackling the social housing waiting list in the area.
Doctor, this is a good news story. The estate is finished, as I said, to a high specification, and I'm sure the people who will be allocated it, them houses will be really delighted. But there's still a lot more work to be done, and we'll be working with the council executive to ensure that we can provide as many social housing units as we possibly can to meet the demand.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 14 minutes past 5 o'clock and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Arsenal must score in the Czech Republic tonight if they're to progress to the semi-finals of the Europa League. Their tie with Slavia Prague is level at 1-1, meaning Mikel Arteta's side are behind on away goals. Slavia, they're unbeaten in 21 home matches they've played this season. Meanwhile, Manchester United, they're looking to reach a third Europa League semi-final in 5 years. They hold a 2-0 lead over Granada, heading into the second leg at Old Trafford. Elsewhere, Ajax, they need to overturn a 2-1 first leg deficit away to Roma, while Villarreal, they hold a 1-0 advantage ahead of their home leg with Dynamo Zagreb. And there's a huge game at the bottom of the Championship this evening as relegation threatened Rotherham and Coventry. They meet at the New York Stadium. A victory for Rotherham would take them above their opponents and out of the bottom three, while if Coventry won, they would go 6 points clear of the drop zone. Up in Scotland, police have reported to Andre Cudella to Scotland's prosecution service after investigating claims of racist abuse against Rangers' Glenn Kamara. A case of racially aggravated conduct has been submitted against the Czech following the Europa League game at Ibrox last month. If convicted, Cudella, who's already been handed a 10-game ban by UEFA, could face up to 6 months in prison. In rugby, Ireland head coach Adam Griggs has named an unchanged starting 15 for Saturday's women's Six Nations tie against France at Energia Park. Donegal's Laura Feely is again among the replacements. Laura played the closing 12 minutes of last week's 45-0 thumping of Wales. Ireland's sevens international Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe is in line for her debut cap, having also been named on the bench. And hooker Emma Hoban also comes into the match day 23. And the second change from last weekend's 45-0 win over Wales and Cardiff. In other news in rugby, Leinster have confirmed that hooker Sean Cronin and scrum half Luke McGrath have both signed new deals with the province. And there's new law variations that will be trialled in the upcoming inaugural Rainbow Cup. Teams losing a player to a red card will be able to use a nominated substitute to replace the offender after a 20-minute period. And captains will be allowed one challenge per match to review referees' decisions. And a change to the dropout rule has also been made. The competition starts next week. Moving on to golf, and on the PGA Tours, Stewart Cink's the man to catch on the opening day of the RBC Heritage. The American is on 8 under par after shooting a 63 today. Matt Wallace, he's two shots off the lead. He's on 6 under par after a 65. Graham McDowell, he's struggling out in the course. He's on 2 over par through 13. Shane Lowry, he gets his first round underway just after a 5:30. And on the European Tour, Cormac Sharvin's dropped back to 2 over par on day 1 at the Austrian Open. John Catt, Rickard Kjellberg and Martin Keimer, they're the clubhouse leaders on 4 under par. Jonathan Caldwell's currently 5 over, while Paul Dunne and Gavin Moynihan, they're both in the clubhouse on 1 over and 5 over respectively. And on the LPGA Tour, Stephanie Meadow, she's 3 off the lead heading into day 2 of the Lotte Championship in Hawaii. Meadow will resume on 5 under par. Leona Maguire's just a further shot behind. She's on 4 under. Brittany Altomare and Yuka Sasso, they share the lead on 8 under par. In snooker, Ronnie O'Sullivan will open the defence of his World Snooker Championship title against debutant Mark Joyce at the Crucible. Elsewhere in the draw, former champion Stuart Bingham, he came through qualifying. He'll meet China's Ding Junhui. World number one Judd Trump, he plays Liam Highfield. And Antrim's Mark Allen, he's up against Liu Haitan. The event gets underway at the Crucible this Saturday morning from 10 o'clock. In some Olympics news, a senior member of Japan's ruling party, Toshiro Nakai, has said that the cancellation of the Tokyo Olympics is still an option. The games are due to begin on July the 23rd. There has been a huge surge of COVID-19 cases in Japan, where public support for the staging of the games is low. The IOC has maintained its stance that the showpiece will proceed. Finally, for this evening, just to remind you of the score, it starts this evening at after the 7 o'clock news, around 7:05. Tonight, Oisin Kelly will be have a chat about the League of Ireland with former Finn Harps and Sligo Rovers player Rafa Kitaro. That's ahead of Saturday's North West Derby between the two clubs. He'll also be speaking to Derry boxer Conor Coyle and North West 10K chairman Neil Martin. That's the score at around 7:05 this evening. That's your sport, Inspector Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it is a Thursday evening, which means it's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, let's kick off this week with some positive news. Things are looking up for Donegal beef and sheep farmers, with prices very much on the rise. Beef prices have soared with the increased demand due to the reopening of the UK food service sector. Over the past week, prices have risen by around 15 cent a kilo, and beef farmers with in-spec stock are now securing up to €4.30 a kilo for R grading steers and heifers. To find out more, I've been speaking with Adam Woods, beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and I began by putting it to him that there has been a lot of movement in prices being paid.
That's right, Chris. We've seen a marked difference over the last few days in beef coats, and we've seen heifers move to 4.10 a kilo and bullocks move to €4 a kilo, and that's probably up 10 or 15 cents in the last 7 days. And really the main driver of that is UK demand. We've seen, I guess, the vaccination strategy for COVID working really well in the UK, and we've seen them starting to open up again. So we're seeing hotels with plans to open up in the next 2 weeks. We've seen pubs open up. And we've also seen family gatherings, which they're starting to meet again. So basically back to normality. And that, I guess, has driven demand over on our side of the water for food service, because we put a lot of our beef into food service with their channels in the UK. We're in a quite a unique position, Chris, in that never in my lifetime have we been in this position before, in that our food service channels are completely empty at the moment due to COVID. So we need to restock them again. And that has put the impetus back on Irish factories. Finnish cattle are in very tight supply, and they've had to increase the price basically to get those cattle into the production lines to fill big food service orders and also retail orders. We've seen retail sales in the UK perform very, very well. In the 12 weeks up to mid-March, you're talking plus 15% in terms of volume and sales in the UK. So it's all good news, and I think it's going to go further. I think in terms of, if we look wider afield in terms of Europe and the European market, imports of beef into the European market were down 20%. in 2020. And we're seeing a very cautious approach by meat traders in Europe to bringing in some beef from South America, because I guess Europe isn't going as well in terms of reopening. So there's some caution there being exercised. And we're in a unique position here, and a good position here to fill that market should it be needed, hopefully in Q3 or Q4.
And worth pointing out that there had been quite a big price disparity in beef prices between here and Britain.
Absolutely. We're looking at record beef prices in the UK at the moment. Numbers are very tight over there. And again, retail demand has dictated, very, very large price increases. You're looking at €5, €5.20 a kilo, the equivalent in terms of euros over there in the British market at the moment. We've seen a renationalisation of beef sales over there. And I guess we'll say the government has encouraged, we'll say, consumers to buy British. And that has led to an increase in the beef price in the UK. But definitely there's huge scope for the Irish price to kick on now, because we're a long way off it. We're a euro or so off that price. And equally in Northern Ireland, we're seeing the beef price break €4 a sterling, which is unheard of again, and which will filter down to us as well, because we've seen exports from the south almost double in the first 12 weeks of 2021. We're seeing almost 17,000 cattle before they're feeding move north. So that's very, very good, and that has lifted the mark trade as well. We're seeing a very, very good mark trade at the moment, because we're seeing southern agents, southern factories compete with Northern Ireland customers, and that's leading to better prices in the mark.
So Donegal beef farmers have endured a pretty torrid period over the last couple of years, but at last, for them and their counterparts throughout the country, this looks like being a much more positive scenario.
Absolutely, and your local factory, Foyle Meats in Donegal, has been punching above the weight for the last couple of weeks in terms of being probably top of the pile there in terms of quotes. They're offering a 10-cent bonus on carcasses between 300 and 380 kilos, and that has meant that they're a little bit above. Now, the rest of the country has caught up with them now this week, but definitely before this, they were offering a little bit of a premium over and above the rest.
Now, turning to something quite different, but there is a link. The Irish Farmers Journal established its Thrive programme 3 years ago. Now, in effect, this is a demonstration farm in County Tipperary, and you've been able to pilot a number of things. So bring us right up to date. You're featuring this week because there's a number of developments.
Yeah, we've got a 20-page pullout this week, Chris. 3 years ago, we sat down as a team and asked ourselves the question as to what should we be covering, maybe, or what areas are going to be challenging for the beef industry or for farmers in general in the next 5 to 10 years. And we've seen dairy beef as one of those. And look, we've seen a change in the national kill. We've seen, if we go back 10 years ago to 2010, we're looking at 47% of the national kill coming from dairy animals. That has, we'll say, risen to 57% in 2020. So more dairy cows in the country, and that means more dairy beef. And I guess suckler cows are there bobbing away, maybe a little bit down in some counties. But that has meant that, I guess, there's a lot more farmers rearing dairy beef. And there's challenges associated with that, and it's important that we meet those challenges. And that's what Thrive is all about. Talking to dairy farmers about using better bulls on the dairy cows in order to get better calves, because it's very, very important that raw material that comes to the beef farmer, that we can do something with it, and we can, get it into a heavy carcass or get it into a well-conformed carcass to make some money out of it. So Thrive, we've got one farm, that demonstration farm in Cashel in Tipperary. We've also got 10 other farms around the country. We've got farms in Mayo, farms in Roscommon, farms in Mead, and we're following those as they do a similar thing. We've got 140 calves being reared on that farm in Cashel, but other farms are doing similar things, and there's some key messages coming out of it: the importance of genetics, the importance of calf health, the importance of grassland management, and making sure that a lot of the live weight gain comes from, we'll say, grass as opposed to silage or meal inside. So look at the good and the bad, and sometimes there's more learnings out of the things that we get wrong on a programme like that, and definitely we've a big following on it.
Important to point out also that as part of the process, it's necessary to find ways of increasing the profitability.
Absolutely, and I guess that's one thing is very important as well in terms of doing budgets, Chris, and looking at, I guess if we look back across the last, 6-8 weeks, calf prices have been doing really, really well. We're looking at maybe €250 there for a 4-week-old Hereford Arangus calf. And really, personally, I don't think there's any money to be made out of those calves at that money. So it's important that a farmer sits down, does the budget on that dairy calf to beef system, because dairy calves may seem very cheap to get into and very easy to purchase at $200 or $250 a head, but you need to follow them all the way through and follow them on to 2-year-old. We'll say in terms of all the costs associated with them, and they're quite cheap to get into, but they're quite expensive to get out of. So it's important that you do that cash flow the whole way, and you work out what can I afford to pay for a calf. Because as part of that Thrive programme, we've been looking at 180 for a heifer and 220 for a bull, and we don't really want to go over that because we feel that's where our price point is at in terms of trying to make a margin out of them.
So in conclusion, we've somewhat negotiated the whole Brexit hurdles. COVID restrictions are being eased. There is some light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. I think definitely up to mid-June, Chris, I think it's going to be a positive couple of weeks for the beef industry. I think supply and demand will dictate that. And the reopening of the UK, and indeed ourselves, if we get our vaccination strategy right, in terms of reopening of hotels and we'll say reopening of restaurants, I think that'll be a positive for the beef industry.
And that was Adam Woods, Beef and Suckler Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Meanwhile, the sheep sector is also enjoying a good period. According to the IFA National Sheep Chairman Sean Dennehy, hogget prices have hit €8 a kilo as factories struggle to match supplies with market demand. Ramadan and strong supermarket sales of lamb are driving the trade. He added that prices of up to €8.50 a kilo are being paid for spring lamb. Culls are ranging from €3.20 to €3.50 a kilo in general. Irish farmers have a three times higher cancer mortality than blue and white collar workers, with ultraviolet sunlight skin cancer being a significant cause of this heightened death rate. According to Dr. Triana McCarthy, consultant in public health medicine, farmers appear to have a number of misunderstandings of the dangers of ultraviolet sunlight risks and protective measures. Farmers are also particularly vulnerable to this cancer risk due to the length of time that they work outdoors. Well, to improve farmers' knowledge related to this type of cancer, Teagasc will hold a public webinar on the topic next Wednesday, that's the 21st of April, from 11:30 in the morning to 1:00. All are welcome to attend, and you can get the link to that webinar on the Teagasc website. In other news this week, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue is reminding Donegal farmers and advisers that the deadline for submission of applications to the Beef Environmental Efficiency Programme, Sucklers, and the Dairy Beef Pilot Scheme is the 26th of April. Applications for both schemes must be completed online through agfood.ie. The new dairy beef calf measure for 2021 will also close on the 26th of April. Finally, the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association issued a statement this afternoon warning that there is a real danger that farmers will be the big losers as moves are advanced to increase biodiversity and address climate change. The INHFA President Colm O'Donnell has stressed the need to firstly engage with farmers and landowners before any changes are made, as they will impact how they farm and will also undermine the value of their lands. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Weather forecast, it'll stay dry this evening with a mix of bright spells and variable cloud, winds light to moderate south to southeastern direction. Dry with a mix of clear spells and variable cloud tonight, allowing temperatures to drop between -1 and +4 degrees Celsius. A slight frost forming to the east of the region where it'll remain coolest. Mist and fog patches developing in near calm conditions tonight. Southeast or variable winds. Tomorrow will be dry with spells of hazy sunshine for much of the day. Cloud building in the west with perhaps a few isolated outbreaks of light rain or drizzle. Highest temperatures tomorrow 10 to 12 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southerly winds. Occasionally fresh, particularly along western coasts. Main stories and hairdressers, beauty salons, visitor attractions and outdoor sport can resume in Northern Ireland from next Friday. The Stormont executive has agreed a further easing of lockdown restrictions will then take place on April 30th with all non-essential retail and gyms reopening. Indoor hospitality is set to start from the 24th of May. Here, Retail Excellence Ireland say the opening of retail north of the border will put further pressure on businesses that have to stay closed here. Ireland is likely to administer 40,000 fewer vaccines this week than had been expected. That's largely because of the disruption caused by the suspension of AstraZeneca for most age groups over blood clot fears. However, the HSE boss is insisting there'll be a short-term impact only. And almost 100 people arrived into Ireland in the past week from high-risk countries without a mandatory hotel quarantine booking. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of April. The death has taken place of John McDermott, John Owen, Bunn, Glengad, Mallon. John's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in St Patrick's Church, Ahaclay, Mallon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard.
Due to HSC and the government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. John's funeral mass can be viewed live on the Mallon Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Nellie Cannon, 508 The Cottages, Drumkeen. Nellie's remains are reposing at her sister Breed Boyle's residence at 88 Lonsdale, Ballybuffet. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with HSC and the government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The mass will be live streamed on Craig's Media Facebook page. The death has occurred of John McGinley, Rashidoak, New Mills. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Saturday at 12 noon in St Columbus Church, Glenswilly, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the St Columbus Church, Glenswilly Facebook page. Inquiries to Con MacDade & Sons funeral directors. The death has taken place of John Funny McFadden, Bridge End, Rimelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary on Thursday and Friday at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass and rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/St Mary's Church Rimelton. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Medical 3, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Seamus McFadden, Melanie Burt. Requiem mass on Saturday at 11 in St Angus's Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a limit of 10 people permitted. Seamus' Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt. The death has taken place of Charles Kennedy, Drumnakilleu, Inver. His remains are reposing at his late residence, with removal from there tomorrow morning to St Noel's Church, Ardahi, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Gallagher Funeral Directors, Mount Charles, or any family member. Due to government and HSC guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The death has occurred of John Doherty, 19, Summer Hill, Buncrana. Requiem mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Clonmany, followed by interment in the new cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a limit of 10 people permitted. John's Requiem mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Clonmany. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Nathan O'Doherty, Mina Vanahan, Quigley's Point, County Donegal. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in Holy Family Church, Ballymacroarty, with interment afterwards in the City Cemetery, Derry. Wake strictly restricted to family only, please. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Cardiac Risk in the Young, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. The death has occurred of Bella Patton, née Boyle, Station House Killigordon, and formerly of Lochinure. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral from her residence tomorrow morning to St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Frankie Mackay, 9 Woodend Road, Strabane. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Frankie's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam tomorrow at 10 a.m. on churchservices.tv/lechpatrick.